And I want to invite you to open your Bible this morning with me to the Gospel of Luke. We're turning to Luke chapter 7. If you're using the Bible that's there in front of you, this can be found on page 1022. In these weeks now leading up to Easter, we're going to look at Jesus' confrontation with death in the Gospel of Luke. The encounters that Jesus has with somebody who's dead, and the hope that that offers us. Here in the Gospel of Luke, as we jump into chapter 7, we've heard the teaching of Jesus. He's gathered his disciples. We've seen his miraculous power to make those who could not walk stand and walk. He's taught with authority. And in Luke 7, Jesus comes to the town of Nain and witnesses a funeral procession. This is Luke chapter 7, beginning at verse 11. Luke 7, verse 11. Soon afterward, Jesus went to a town called Nain, and his disciples and a large crowd went along with him. As he approached the town gate, a dead person was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And a large crowd from the town was with her. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Then he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. He said, "Young man, I say to you, get up." The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. They were all filled with awe and praised God. "A great prophet has appeared among us," they said. "God has come to help his people." This news about Jesus spread throughout Judea and the surrounding country. Let's bow our heads as I pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, the clarity with which you confront us in our need, the power revealed to us of our Savior. Lord, as we listen to your word, as we reflect on the truth of this gospel announcement, Lord, I pray that we who are weak and weary would be comforted by your word. But Lord, I pray that you would disrupt the lives of those who are comfortable in trusting themselves. Lord, those of us who are too quick to look away from the problems which surround us, Lord, let us feel the sorrow and the pain that we might find our comfort in you. Lord, for those that hear the reading of your word and doubt whether this is possible, whether it could be true, Lord, I pray that you would give us a hope in Jesus, who is our Savior. Father, we come praying in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Private investigator Bill Edgar was hired to look into the financial matters for a client. And when he delivered his report, the client admitted to him that he was dying. He wants to make a video to be played at his own funeral, but he's pretty sure his family won't play it. As a joke, Bill, the investigator, says, "Well, I can go to the funeral and read what you want me to read." He explains, I meant it as a joke. It was just sort of the offhanded comment you make as the conversation moves along. Well, a few weeks later, that's what Graham hires him to do. He says, "Once I'm dead, you go to my funeral and I'll prepare what I want you to say." Now, this isn't in Bill's normal skill set as an investigator. Yes, he often confronts people at awkward moments, but this is a solemn occasion in a church. And so as he's sitting there, he realizes this is going to be terrible. He's given specific instructions. When the guy who claims to be my best friend stands up to give the eulogy, that's when you'll interrupt. And as soon as he stands from his wooden pew, the pew creaks so loudly that everyone in the room turns to stare at him. And so he just starts reading. "My name's Bill Edgar, and I'm here on behalf of the deceased who has a message for all of you." He then reads the deceased's complaints against the man, his former best friend, who's up front speaking. As Bill keeps reading this, best friend slinks out of the church. People are telling him, "Stop, sit down, be quiet." But he keeps reading. He has more to say. He confronts a long estranged brother who hadn't been there in Graham's time of need. And that family too gets up and leaves. Finally, as he reaches the end, he finishes reading. Bill folds up the paper, slaps it down on top of the coffin, and rushes to his car, drenched in sweat, anxious about what he's just done, interrupting this funeral. But he feels like he's satisfied his client's wishes. He feels like it was as if the dead man had a mic drop moment at his own funeral. Now, as someone who officiates funerals, I get a little nervous even sharing this story, giving any of you any ideas. Because it fills me with anxiety just thinking about that moment. A funeral interrupted, friends and family embarrassed, mourners discomforted. But Luke's gospel presents us with a moment as disruptive in a funeral. The moment when Jesus walks up to a mourning mother, stops the funeral procession, and corrects this weeping woman, "Don't cry." Now, because we know what's coming next, because we jump to the miraculous conclusion, we miss the horror of this moment. Here's a woman coming out from the town, likely on the very day that her son has died, for burial has to take place quickly. The whole town gathered with her in this procession of mourning, some there probably even professional mourners to bring a momentous weeping to this moment. And Jesus, instead of feeling the sorrow, instead of comforting, he corrects this woman, "Don't cry." It's here that Jesus confronts death. One commentator calls this passage a collision between life and death, a horrific accident where everybody is forced to look at what has just taken place. Jesus, with his own crowd following him, confronts this crowd coming out of the city, and there's this collision. A collision between life and death. Now, many of the miracles of the gospel, Jesus is not the one who takes the initiative. We're told that people are brought to Jesus in the miracle that happened right before this moment. If you look back earlier in Luke chapter 7, there's a centurion who comes to Jesus and asks for miraculous help. But here, Jesus confronts death itself. Everyone knows what has happened. People know this woman's horror. They know the tragedy of the moment. And Jesus walks up. Not only does he tell the woman, "Don't cry," look at verse 14. He said to a dead man, "Young man, I say to you, get up." Okay, that actually makes what happened at Graham's funeral seem less awkward. Jesus speaks to the dead corpse. I mean, he has to be crazy. To talk to the dead, with an expectation that they'll hear you. Now, yes, of course, in our moments of weeping and sorrow, we sometimes pour out our words to those that are deceased, but we don't expect them to respond. We don't expect them to speak back. But Jesus talks to the dead man with an expectation. And maybe that's how you view Jesus, as somebody who is crazy. Somebody, yes, who's maybe come to disrupt the self-righteous religious lives of people around him, but of course he has nothing to say to us, because he's the kind of man who pretends to talk to the dead, who thinks he has something to say, because we don't expect anything to happen. I mean, we walk through life thinking that Jesus has very little to offer, very little to say, very little authority over our lives. Or maybe you're ready to dismiss the claims of this gospel altogether, because sure, you can handle the teaching of Jesus, the comforting words of Jesus, but this is too much to believe. But that's exactly the position that the first hearers in that moment would have been in. Actually, they would have been more deeply wrapped up in this moment, mourning the death of this child, watching a mother cry. And then Jesus walks up and speaks to the dead. Who does he think he is? How foolish is this? Can somebody drag the crazy man away? Can we stop this moment? Can we get on with our lives? The boy needs to be buried. The mourners need to be fed. We have to be sent home. Get him out of the way. And yet it's here that Jesus confronts death. And it's here that Jesus comforts us. Because when he sees the woman likely leading this procession, and sees the coffin being carried, Jesus, look at verse 14, after he tells her, don't cry, he went up and touched the coffin, and those carrying it stood still. This isn't just a passing comment from Jesus as she walks by, don't cry. No, he stops everything. He stops the entire procession. This woman who is widowed and now childless will be left with no one to help her. In a vulnerable position in any culture, but particularly in ancient culture. It's a moment where we see the sorrow of a world broken by sin. Where death comes for each of us. And Jesus walks up and touches the coffin. He's unconcerned about the ceremonial rituals, that this will prevent him from going back to the temple and offering sacrifice until he goes through the cleansing process. He doesn't keep his distance from death. He walks right up and touches the coffin. Maybe today you need Jesus to step into your life. I mean, where is it that you would want him to come and put his hand to assure you that you will be okay? Maybe it's in that moment of chaos where life feels so overwhelming that you've stepped into the pantry to close the door and you're just in tears beside yourself. You don't know how you can get through the next 5 minutes of life. And here comes Jesus to stand beside you. Maybe it's in that tragic moment when your doctor shares with you the worst fears of the test results. Your mind can't even process what's happening. And yet here Jesus steps beside you. Maybe it's as your job is lost. And you wonder what hope you have, how you can face those around you. I mean, where in your life do you need Jesus to step in? This is the worst moment in this woman's life. It's hard to fathom the pain. And yet interrupting the mourning, interrupting the crying, Jesus stops death in its tracks. Because here, Jesus conquers death. The crowds who see this miracle, they call Jesus a great prophet, we're told in verse 16. A great prophet has appeared among us. They understand that something is happening, like Elijah of the Old Testament, whom God miraculously used to raise the dead, a moment in which God appeared to be overturning everything that had gone wrong. They say, look at verse 16, God has come to help us. And this passage is a glimpse for us of the power that Jesus has, the power that we'll read on Easter Sunday, not just of Jesus raising someone from the dead, but Jesus himself being raised from the dead. We get glimpses of it here in this gospel. Look back at verse 13. When the Lord saw her, his heart went out to her, and he said, "Don't cry." Now, I would have missed it without the help of commentators pointing out this detail. This is the first time in Luke's gospel. Now, I would have missed it because I jumped into chapter 7. This is the first time in Luke's gospel that Luke describes Jesus as Lord. Now, you see the word Lord. If you search it in your online Bible, the word Lord comes repeatedly in Luke's gospel before this moment, but it's always on the lips of somebody coming up and speaking to Jesus, or it's a quotation from the Bible. This is the first time in the gospel that Luke himself attributes the title to Jesus. And actually in Matthew and Mark, the other two synoptic gospels, these three gospels that share such similarities, they use the title Lord on the lips of others, but they will not call Jesus Lord. Matthew and Mark reserve the title Lord until after the resurrection. Because this is a title that describes Jesus as the almighty, all-powerful God who can stop death in its tracks. He is Yahweh Almighty, the Lord of heaven and earth, the one who made everything, the one who created with a word. Everything that you see is the one who can step in front of a funeral procession and stop a coffin in its tracks. And he said to the man in the coffin, "Young man, I say to you, get up." And then look at verse 15, how Luke describes what happens. The dead man sat up. Okay, that's a sentence that makes no sense at all, outside of a horror genre, of a bad opening for a terrible movie. But Luke tells us, the dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. The dead are raised to life at the miraculous work of Jesus. It's only in Luke's gospel that this encounter is told, and yet each of the gospels record the power that Jesus has over life and death. One commentator describes this passage. He writes, "The way of life meets the way of death." Jesus, the Savior, steps in to bring rescue and hope, to actually wipe away this mother's tears. To just say to her, "Don't cry," is nonsense. It's cruel in the moment, unless he does something, unless he changes the situation, unless he gives her a reason to stop crying. The dead man sat up and began to talk, and Jesus gave him back to his mother. Now, sadly for this man, there will be another funeral. He will, at some point, die again. Because this is raising someone before the resurrection of Jesus. When he raises someone from the dead, it's raised back to mortal life, to the same kind of life he had before, a life still facing down death. Now, perhaps this young man will outlive his mother so that she won't be among the mourners at his second funeral. But death still lingers over us. I mean, we might be able to ignore it for a time. We might be able to pretend, except in those moments when we receive the phone call or we see the update and we have to walk into a funeral. We might be able to ignore it, but it is coming. And Christianity, the ministry of Jesus, who is the Christ, the Messiah, the King of God's kingdom, Christianity alone gives us hope in the face of death. Among all the religions of the world, other religions will tell you how to change your orientation, how to change your perspective so that you can just experience death or sidestep death or pretend death isn't there but only Christianity offers us a historical confrontation with death itself. Jesus stepping in to raise the dead to life. And of course, in Luke's gospel, we know that Jesus does more than come alongside the mourners. Jesus does more than put his hand on the coffin to stop the procession. In the gospel, Jesus comes to experience death itself. The Son of God here to rescue God's people. More than a great prophet, he is the Lord himself who has come to give his life for us. Jesus, as this gospel message continues, is the one who puts himself not just next to our coffin, but he puts himself in the tomb. Jesus, who touches us with his grace and with hope, is the one who went to the cross, bearing the indignity of death, with his own mother weeping at the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, willing to give his life for us, the one who commits himself into the hands of God. Jesus loved us enough not just to stop the funeral, but to take our place in the coffin. He's the one buried for us. And yet, of course, Luke calls him the Lord. Easter is coming, when the Son of God will brush aside the power of death. That moment that destroys us. That moment which has conquered humanity. Death is the wages of our sin. Our rebellion against God brings death upon us. And yet Jesus takes death upon himself that he can cast it aside. And his resurrection, unlike this moment of the widow's son being raised, will put death fully behind him. Raised from the dead to die no more. Raised in a kingdom that will last forever. Raised in a body incorruptible. Raised with the hope of God's eternal kingdom at work in him. See, as Christians, this is our only hope. That Jesus himself has stepped in to stop death in its tracks. Not just at one funeral, but he stopped death itself. The scriptures announce to us that Jesus is the one who gains all of the victory. That Jesus is the one who shows us the power of God so that death, the last enemy to be destroyed, is swallowed up in the victory of Jesus. The Apostle Paul, he quotes from the Old Testament. He says, "Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And in his resurrection, he can say to us with comfort and compassion, don't cry. He can say to us with power, there's no need for tears at this moment. The scriptures at the very end of the Bible tell us that God will wipe away every tear from our eyes because death itself will be no more. Jesus, the Savior, put his hand on the coffin. Jesus spoke a word of comfort to the mother in her sorrow. Jesus speaks to the dead. Young man, I say to you, get up. And the dead listen to Jesus. Let's bow in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you that your gospel offers us real hope. Hope right now in this moment, in the midst of our questions and doubts, in the moments of overwhelming sorrow and pain, that Jesus is the one who speaks a word of comfort. Jesus is the one who steps in the pathway of death to take death upon himself, to take the punishment for our sin, that we might receive the gift of eternal life. And so, Father in heaven, we give you praise in the name of Jesus, our Lord, the one who has been raised from the dead, the one exalted in heaven. Lord, I pray that you would give faith to those who hear your word, that those who need comfort would find it in Jesus. Lord, that those who need answers would find it in your truth and in your word. Lord, we thank you for the rescue we receive. And so we come praying in the name of Jesus, Jesus our Lord. Amen.